This morning, I solicit your prayers. I'm going to be preaching from a very difficult passage this morning, a passage that has divided churches, a passage that has caused some people to leave the church. So I'll solicit your prayers this morning, a passage that most preachers skip over. Talking to my ecclesiastical friends, they say, no, we can't touch that one. But this is a very difficult passage this morning, but we are still preaching ourselves through the book of Ephesians. So I call your attention this morning to the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to preach this morning from verses 5 through verse 9. And I'm reading from the Living Bible because I want to get the everyday vernacular so you can understand it. The King James may have some chopped up words in there that you may not understand it, because only King James was using some of that language. So anyway, it says, slaves, obey your master. Be eager to give them your very best. Serve them as you would Christ. Don't work hard only when your master is watching, and then shirk when he isn't looking. Work hard and with gladness all the time, and through working as you are working for Christ, doing the will of God with all your heart. Remember that the Lord will pay you for each good deed you do, whether you are a slave or whether you are free. And you slave owners must treat your slaves right, just as I have told them to treat you. Don't keep threatening them. Remember, you yourselves are slaves to Christ. You have the same master they do, and he has no favorites. Amen. Our theme this morning is godly obedience. Godly obedience. You know, no matter what scripture I try to deal with, obedience always happens to be the golden thread that holds the Word of God together. In our lesson this morning, Christianity is not confined to Sundays. You know, I saw so many folk growing up in Alabama that went to work on Sunday, and they were so cruel to people on Monday that they enforced Jim Crow laws and segregation, but all these folk were in the church. And I struggled with that for years as to how these folk could be in the church and be so evil and so hateful. Yeah. But when Paul talks about this scripture and the reason that this scripture has been so difficult for people to understand, and the reason that I've never seen another pastor take this scripture as a text, because in order to preach this scripture, we first have to understand the theology, the guiding principles that's behind this particular scripture. When Paul talks about submitting one to the other, he is not talking about just Christians, but he's talking about all of us. Also, how do we treat people that we come in contact with on a day-to-day basis? If you are a boss, or if you are a supervisor of other people, how do you treat those people that's within your supervision? And talking to you now, do you give a full day's work for a full day's pay? Hallelujah. Christianity manifests itself in our everyday life. This is not about a Sunday thing. Today I will teach that godly obedience is possible only to people who are filled with the Spirit of God. You cannot be and have godly obedience if you're not filled with the Spirit of God. Yeah. That's why our lesson text this morning, this scripture that I'm going to preach this morning, cannot be understood by the secular world. The secular world would not be able to receive it. Only the people that can receive it would be people that are filled with the Spirit. I have 3 points in my outline this morning. The first one is servants' obedience, verses 5-6. And my second point is godly obedience, that is verse 7-8. And my last point is the master's obedience, and that is verse 9. But the background of our lesson text this morning, we have to have a controlling thought. Before you can understand this scripture, you have to have a thought of scripture that controls you. Now, remember, I told you that when we talked about the husband's and wife's relationship, and also when we talked about the child and the parent relationship last week, that you had to go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, for it says, be filled not with wine, but we be filled with the Holy Spirit. And see, that is your guiding thought when you go into this scripture. In other words, you can't be controlled by the flesh. You can't be controlled by wine. You can't be controlled. It's a matter of control. It said, be not filled with wine. Don't be drunk. You got to be sober to understand this. But it say, be filled with the Spirit. You got to be filled with God's Spirit if you're going to understand this. And then once we look at that guiding thought, you have to have that to guide your thought. But now we have to look at the general principle. And the general principle of this whole lesson text, to understand it. Pray with me, church. I told you this is a difficult passage. The thing that we need to understand as a guiding principle is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, submit one to the other in the fear of God. This is talking about the servant, the master. Everybody have to submit to each other when we are talking about serving God. The Bible's main interest. Now, here's the thing that we need to understand. And here's the problem with most people try to understand or try to preach this text. See, the Bible's main interest throughout the whole Bible is man's relationship with God. That is primarily from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about man's relationship with God. Any other relationship comes secondary. Are y'all out there? Yeah. Any other thought, any other theology comes secondary to man's relationship with God. So you have to understand this, because when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus had to tell him and say first, and he summed up everything that was in the Ten Commandments. He summed them all up in the two. He said, first, before you understand any commandments, and this guy was talking about the 613 commandments that they had come up when they was in exile. He said, before you understand any of those, see, they thought they was going to trap Jesus. But Jesus said, this is what you got to understand. And church, this is what you got to understand before you look at this scripture. First, you got to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. You got to get it right on the vertical. And then you got to deal with the horizontal. You got to love your neighbor as yourself. Before you look at this scripture talking about master obey your slaves and slave obey your master and all this stuff, you got to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. See, don't get caught up in the world. Say, well, this scripture telling the slave to obey their master, this scripture is condoning. Say, no. This scripture is directed at the master. This scripture is directed at the servant. He said, love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Submit yourself one to the other in the fear of God. And then when you do those things, and when you look at that, see, one thing that we have to understand as Christians, the earth is not our permanent home. The earth is not our final destination. You need to get with that. You know, you can't get so comfortable down here because this is not your final destined place. See, if you call God Father, then your real destination is in heaven. Yeah. And see, the Bible calls us aliens. The Bible calls us pilgrims. The Bible calls us foreigners. The Bible calls us strangers. The Bible calls us visitors. And the Bible refers to us as travelers. In other words, if you call God Father and you go by all these things that the Bible calls us, your assignment here on earth is a temporary one. Are y'all out there? Your assignment here is a temporary one. So don't get so comfortable in this body, because right now you would have been full of ashes if you had to put all that lotion on you this morning. Body keep on trying to go back to dust, and you keep on filling it up with lotion trying to keep it from going back to dust. Dust thy hour, but it wasn't spoken of the soul. Hallelujah. And then it tells us that, beloved, everything that we do, first we got to love God with all our heart and all our soul. And before we can get into this lesson text and understand that God in principle is man's relationship with God. Now, since you got the background, since you got the primary thing, the primary business of the church, he says, Shannon, you don't have to preach about abortions. You don't have to preach about homosexuality. You don't have to preach about slavery. All you got to do is get man's heart right. Get his heart right, and he'll be right. I hope y'all can get this morning. You don't have to beat folks over the head by tithing. Raise the faith. You're raised to giving. Y'all know I'm right. I'm preaching this morning. I'm in some deep water. But I tell you something about learning how to swim in deep water. You got more buoyancy in deep water. So you can hurt yourself trying to swim in shallow water. Are y'all with me? I'm in some deep water. So y'all pray for me. But now he goes on to say in our lesson text, it says, slaves, obey your master. Be eager to give them your very best. It says, slaves. He said, listen. And so he's setting the tone, because some people got into this and some volunteered slave, but he's talking about these bond slaves. He's talking about these slaves that were slaves that the master had them, you know, doing their fields and doing all the kind of thing. A slave has no right. Everything that he can do, he has no agenda, has to come from the master. But the Bible says, slaves, obey your master. Because I'm going to tell you why you should obey him. Because I'm going to set the tone for you to obey him. He says, slaves, don't you be trying to start no rebellion. Don't you be start planning on killing your master. Don't do all of that. And you know, in slavery, when they had us cooking their food, you know, we would take glass and crumble it up and put it in their food, kill them. Bible said, don't do that, because the battle is not yours. Y'all know about hush puppies, don't you? That's why they call them things hush puppets. Told them the puppets to hush while they was cooking that food that they didn't want the master to know they had. Oh, y'all know I'm right. He said, hey, listen, you ain't got to do all that crazy stuff. You ain't got to plan no rebellion. You ain't got to worry about overthrowing the master. You don't have to worry about bringing down segregation or Jim Crow. He said, just leave it up to the master. Yeah. I'm talking about God. He said, I'm going to free you, Shannon. Just leave it up to me. Yeah. He said, and when you leave it up to me, he said, obey your master. Be eager to give them your very best. Because, see, when you give your master your very best, it's as if you are serving God. Yeah. Dr. King said, if you're going to be a street sweeper, be the best street sweeper that anybody can ever find. Just don't sweep off the street. Sweep off the curbs. If you ever want to see anybody sweep the street, you'll see my mother-in-law. She'd get up every morning when we was in. She'd sweep the whole street. You ain't going to never find no paper in front of her house. But Dr. King said, whatever you're going to do, do it to the glory of God. Because you're not just serving the master, you're serving me. He's not condoning slavery. He's not condemning it either. He's leaving it there. And then he says, serve them as you would Christ. My Lord, he says, serve them as you would Christ. He said, don't work hard only when the master is looking. Oh, you know how it is. We work hard when somebody's watching us. You see, David got to be the king because they had put him on a hill way over there where nobody could see him with his shepherds. He was a shepherd boy, but over his sheep, he was way over there in the hill. Nobody could see him. But see, David was protecting those sheep. Nobody could see him. He was fighting lions and bears and doing all of the things that he was supposed to do. But you see, God saw him. Jesse paraded all them boys up there that Samuel supposed to anoint king, and Samuel say, don't you have another boy? Daddy said, you know, I just got that little rugged, ruddy son that's out there with the sheep. Well, bring him here. Even David's father didn't think he had any potential. Hallelujah. That breaks your heart when a parent don't think you have any potential. Because a parent will always believe in you when nobody else will. And then he goes on to let them know. He said, don't work hard when your master is watching. He say, work hard all the time because God is watching. He say, work hard with gladness. He say, slaves, work hard with gladness. He's telling slaves to work hard with gladness. And he's telling them, though you are working for Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Do the will of God with all your heart. And then he say, remember, the Lord will pay you for each good thing you do, whether you are a slave or whether you are free. He said, work hard. Remember, that slave master may not be appreciative of what you're going to do, but remember, God is going to pay you. You get to work on time. You don't worry about going around and getting there early, going on everybody's desk, and then trying to go to your boss and tell them what they're doing. Looking on the copy machine and see if anybody done put on a resume and then go tell them, oh, y'all know what y'all do at work. I used to tell my folks, don't come tell me nothing. Telling on folk. Trying to get ahead. Trying to bring the boss an apple a day to keep the doctor away. Brown nose. And some of our nose so brown, them got raw. Brown nosing. You don't need to do all that. You just serve as if you are serving God. And then he says, and this is the part that makes it so good. He said, and you slave owners, you must treat your slaves right. See, they got to treat you right. See, you can have a good slave owner if they treat you right. All this stuff that we see when we watch Roots and slave masters beating them and raping them and all that was never supposed to be. He said, and you slave masters, you must treat your slaves right, just as I have told them to treat you. Don't keep threatening them. Don't keep threatening them. You don't never call nobody in and threaten them with a job. We just saw that in Washington the other day, didn't we? Threatening somebody with a job. That's against God. Remember, you yourselves are slaves to Christ. You have the same master they do. And God has no favorites. I just want you to walk with me for a minute because you may not be able to understand this thing coming from the scripture. But I want you to take a look for a minute at William Wilberforce. See, William Wilberforce was a rich man. He was born with money. But when he was a teenager, he got involved in the slave trade. And Wilberforce and his people would get about, in a year, they would get between 35,000 and 50,000 slaves, and they would get them and they would trade them off, and they would make big money. They would make big money. But Wilberforce decided to run for politics, and he went and got involved in the parliament. And he got all involved in politics. And then one day, Wilberforce got caught up and got saddened. And the Lord spoke to him, and he had a conversion. And Wilberforce had a conversion. And he went back into parliament, and he got with Thomas Clarkston. And because he had a conversion, because he had heard somebody preach, maybe they preached this message, but something happened to William Wilberforce, this man that was born with money, this man that made all kind of money in the slave trade, this man who sold 50,000 slaves a year for money, this man that got caught up in all that money, he got the word from God, he got the message from God, and he had a conversion. And in one year, him and Thomas Clarkston presented 12 resolutions to Parliament to abolish slavery. See, God said, oh, don't worry about the slaves trying to overthrow Wilberforce. Let me deal with his heart. And when I deal with his heart, he'll change. And now we see here that the Bible never tries to deal with man no other way but to deal with man's heart. And when you deal with man's heart, see, the Bible will change your heart. And when the Bible changes your heart, the Bible will make you better so you can make a better world. And see, that's what we're talking about in this scripture. He's talking about all we have to do is let God handle it. See, when the bus boycott came to Montgomery, they wouldn't let us ride the buses and all that kind of stuff. And Dr. King said we would withdraw from this system because it's evil. All he had to do was go to God. And see, when we went to God, when we allowed God to work it out, the bus company went broke. When we allowed God to work this thing out, when we allow God to work it out, God made it happen, and God put it so that this little old preacher that came up there, and when he went wrote this letter from the Birmingham jail, he said, I'm writing this letter to all you clergy in Birmingham because I'm here, because injustice is here. I know you're calling me an educator, but I want you to know that I'm here because injustice is here, but most of all, I'm here because I'm obedient to my Father. And at that last paragraph in that letter that he wrote to all the clergy in Birmingham, he said, I want to get an opportunity to meet you. I know you've called me an agitator, and I know you don't want me here, but there's one thing I want you to know, that I'm your brother in Christ. If you call me clergy, if you call God Father, we got the same heaven. And I just want you to know, as your brother in Christ, I want to sit down and have some time to talk to you about heaven. Yeah. I want you to understand what I'm preaching today. If we want to change people, we got to change their hearts. If we want to look at man and all of the inhumanity that man is carrying on against other people, we have to change their heart. You see, the thing that I think about my Savior Jesus Christ, they carried him to Calvary, and they hung him between two thieves. My Savior, your Savior, hanging on the cross between two thieves. But 700 years before they put him up there, Isaiah had told him that he would be counted among the transgressors. See, before they put him up there, it had already been predicted. See, you can't outdo God. God had already predicted that they would put him up there with these two thieves. One thief said, save yourself, you've saved others. One thief said, remember me. Remember me when you get into yoke. One thief recognized that he had a kingdom. One thief recognized that he was from another world. He said, remember me. When you get into your kingdom, this thief that was on the cross, he had never done anything right in his life. He had never gone to a new member's orientation, clerks. He had never done anything morally correct. He had never been involved in any kind of ministry in the church. He had never done anything that was right for man and humanity. But Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. Yes, a thief. Yes. We got a lot of thieves today. Some of us would rob God with our tithes and our offerings. Yes, we got a lot of thieves today. If you work for a company and they send you from New York to Chicago and they pay all your bills and everything and they find out that you are working for another company in Chicago, you are a thief. You are robbing that company. God has given you your health and God has given you your strength. You are robbing God. God has put you up here and God has given you all of this, but you have chosen to rob God. God wants you to know that you can come home. God wants you to know that he'll make a way for you. I'm going to tell you, God said, change the heart, Shannon. Go out there and preach. Change the heart. He said, preach to the prostitute. You'll make her a choir member in the church. He said, preach to the drug addict. You'll make him an usher in the church. He said, preach to all those gangbangers and all those people out there. You'll make a gangbanger into a deacon. Preach the word in town, uptown, all around. Just preach. Don't worry about what's going on in the world. Just get the word of God in their heart. Preach the word in season and out season. God said, don't worry about all that injustice. Don't worry about all that stuff that's going. You preach the word and you will turn William Wilberforce into a person that's out there to abolish slavery. Preach the word. That's all we got to do. Teach them the word. That's all I do when I counsel people. Give them a relationship with God. And you give them a relationship with God, the man will stop beating his wife. The guy will put his pipe down and stop smoking dope. Give them the word of God. That's the only way to change humanity. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. You can't love your neighbor like you love yourself until you love God. I don't care, young ladies, how many bugs go around the stump and this guy say you always be his sugar lump. But I just want you to know, he will not love you unless he loves God. Hallelujah. Are you out there? He'll change your heart. He'll take that stony heart out and put in a heart of love and a heart of respect. Slaves, obey your master. Master, don't threaten your slave. Treat him right because you feel with the spirit. Obedience to the word of God. Obedience to the slave. Obedience to the master. Obedience is the golden thread through scripture. Obedience from Genesis to Revelation. Obey God.